If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Shh. The Paranormal Classroom.
Welcome back to the Paranormal Classroom, where we take attendance for the unexplained. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay, and we're two teacher moms talking about stuff that freaks us out.
Oh God, my eyes feel so heavy. I think it's because I've had a lot of gummy bears. And I haven't had dinner yet because Mike's making dinner now. And thank you, Mike, for making dinner.
Welcome, scholars.
Welcome. We have some ambulances or something going by, some sirens in the background. I'll turn off my car for a little bit, too. But
I took my iron pill today, so I'm good to go.
What does that do for you?
It gives me a little energy because I'm super... Really?
Anemic?
Anemic, yeah.
Maybe I need to take... Maybe fewer gummy bears and more iron.
Maybe there's just iron more in gummy iron. Bears. Let's see.
I'm pretty sure it's just horse hooves.
It's just sugars.
It's like gelatin, a.k.a. horse hooves, and dyes, and sugar.
Appetizing.
And they're delicious.
They're delicious. I love them.
Haribo gummy bears. Only the Haribo.
All right, you want to share what's haunting you?
Sure. I definitely didn't even think about it today.
I have two things if you want me to go and then we
please.
Can circle back.
You could do both and one can be for me.
Okay. Well, one thing that's haunting me is I've made all these connections in the last few weeks with people that I've met online through our podcast, right? Like people who've listened to the podcast and I'm having conversations. And I can't say any of their names because I didn't ask for permission. But
sure.
If they're listening, I just want them to know like how special they have been mm-hmm. to me the last few weeks. I've met these really beautiful, kind, affirming people who are just as curious as I am about things in the world. And I've had great conversations and I really, really appreciate all of you.
Yeah. And you've shared a couple with me and they're outstanding, mm-hmm. mind-blowing. And I'm really excited for a couple people in particular whose lives have been changed by just knowing that this telepathy is possible.
Yeah.
And what that might mean for their relationships with their kids.
Yeah.
So that's impactful and super cool. And what a cool, positive community.
Right. Well, if you're just joining us, we're referring to the Telepathy Tapes podcast, which Lindsay and I have been kind of obsessed with for the last few months. And mm-hmm. I had an incredible experience and we put that in a recording. So if you need some background, that's what that is. Well, the second thing haunting me is that I'm obsessed with a new podcast.
Oh, yeah. I started listening to it a little bit today. Gosh. I haven't gotten hooked yet, but you know how that is. It's like a series, a TV series or something. You need 3 or 4 episodes before you go, okay, I'm in. So I haven't got hooked yet, but I'm intrigued.
Did you start it from the beginning, like episode one?
I think what was interesting is I started it today, but today's episode is like a re-release of the first episode.
Oh, weird.
So it's kind of like a synchronous sort of
moment. Well, the podcast is called Uncanny. And it's from the BBC, so it's a British podcast. It's kind of similar to our podcast, I guess, but it's a lot creepier, and they've got a lot more money.
I'm listening to the right podcast. It's, like, theatrical. Like, they're telling the story through actors. Like, there are actors playing the mom and the dad and the little girl. Those aren't real. Those aren't the actual people. Like, he's telling the story, but the people that are... It's like a reenactment.
Oh.
An audio reenactment.
I haven't heard that. So I don't know if we're listening to the same podcast or if I just haven't gotten to the same episode yet.
Let me just show you what I'm looking at.
It's called Uncanny.
It's BBC.
It's BBC. And the guy's had... Yeah, that's it. And he's had a podcast for a while, but he now has a TV show, which I really want to see, but you have to get the British player to... You have to, like, download or pay for a British streaming service.
Interesting.
But I recommend it because it's really good.
Okay.
And it's really creepy.
I'm dying to know what you got.
You ready to find out what I got? Yeah.
Your computer case looks like it's sponsored by Starbucks. look at the waves of her hair.
I didn't think of that. I just got it because my other one was getting all yucky. Ready to get into our story today?
Yeah, finally. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. We're going to do something different today. A little different.
We've been doing... How many times can we do something different before it's the same?
What we're going to do today... That's true. What we're going to do today is a little bit of like role play. Like a, ooh, I'm going to take you on like a Dungeons and Dragons adventure kind of with this story. You like okay. that? Have you ever played Dungeons and Dragons?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's not my jam. It's more my jam than it is. I know you do. You're very good at it. It's more my jam than it is my husband's jam. He can't hang. That's just too. It's too invested for him. He can't handle it. I love. Well, you know, I love acting and performing.
Yes,
and
you do.
Taking
good
on
at
little
it.
Goofy roles, but I don't remember things like the. It's the details, like. The rolls of the dice, what those mean, and like
right
crit,
and people can get really into the details, and that's
oh,
too
God.
Much for
it's,
me.
That's
I just
the
wanna,
math,
I just
like
roll and play.
Analytical brain yeah. people. I try to grow that part of my brain, mm-hmm. but it is the slowest growing part.
Yeah,
so it's very difficult, and then I feel like I'm going to be frustrating and annoying.
Well,
to...
you'd have fun with me if I were the DM because or the dungeon master because I just keep it, I keep it moving,
and it's probably funny
and
too.
It's
if
funny,
long as
it's
funny then
yeah.
I can hang forever.
Okay, before I get into the story, we really need to review our background knowledge on some things. You and me, and then all the listeners, too.
Okay.
So we can go through this. So, what do you know about lighthouses? What do you already know about lighthouses?
Well, I just went to one fairly recently. Well, over
Which
winter
one?
Break. Oh, gosh. It was out... Was that your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was out at... Oh, I just had it. The Lime Kiln... Lime Kiln Lighthouse, something, something, out at near Friday Harbor.
Beautiful.
Yeah. We went to Friday Harbor. My family of four took my dad and stepmom out there for a few days for Christmas, over Christmas break, winter break. And we stayed at an Airbnb there, although I won't stay at Airbnb anymore. But we stayed there and went out to the lighthouse one day. I love lighthouses.
What do you know about them?
I know that... Oftentimes they're haunted by like peg-legged men wearing blue. I know this.
They're
it's
often
factual.
Often haunted. By
frequently,
peg-leg.
Most of the time, there's like a grizzled, white-haired, white-bearded man with one of those floppy like fish flay of fish
oh
fish
gosh.
Stick hats. Do you know what I'm talking about? The yellow fish stick hat.
Yeah, I do.
The,
yeah.
The fish. I'm sure they don't like them to be called the fish stick hats, but the. That fishermen on boats wear in gnarly weather.
You're not...
They could be pretty, like, isolating jobs,
yes,
I would
absolutely,
think.
Yeah.
There's been, like, weird murders in some lighthouses. Lots of hauntings reported in lighthouses. But, yeah, like, the solitary life of and responsibility of being a lighthouse.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. Lighthouse keeper is next.
Okay.
But a lighthouse... And you covered a lot of great stuff.
Sorry.
But you didn't say what
it's
I was
just to keep ships from running into shore.
Yes,
or running
I thought you would say, yeah, they're built in rocky, stormy places.
You thought I would give you a straight answer? Do you know me at all?
This is going to be so fun tonight. Yeah, so they're built in rocky, stormy locations to warn ships that there's rocks there. The light has to be lit at all times.
Right. That's a lot of pressure. You can't be napping. You can't take a NyQuil.
Mm-hmm.
You're not feeling good. Too bad. Get out there and light that light.
Right. And they're about 10 stories tall, or at least the one in this story is 10 stories tall.
Is it? Oh, that's a big one then. Because I feel like a lot of them I've seen are like 2 stories tall.
Two
but they're
stories
up high
small.
On a rock.
Oh, okay.
Right? So maybe like if you counted from like the water's surface to the top, sure.
Okay.
Probably 10 stories-ish.
Okay.
And a lot of them 5 to 10. But the ones that I've been to have been kind of small.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
When the first time I ever learned about a lighthouse was from... Pete's Dragon.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We did that show when I was in 6th grade.
Oh, how cool.
We had the best, like, elementary school. She was former Broadway trained.
Wow.
Lois Wofford. I'll never forget her. She changed my life. She was amazing. And she did full stage musicals every year.
Incredible.
And we did Pete's Dragon one year with all the, like, magical tricks and stuff.
That's what I wanted to do with you when we worked together at elementary school. But it's so
much
work.
Maybe someday.
Yeah, I love Pete's Dragon. Okay, what do you know about working in a lighthouse? Like, what the job is like?
Seems like it'd be, like I said, lonely. Mm-hmm. It'd be playing a lot of solitaire, reading a lot of books, writing a lot of postcards.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, this, depending on the location, some of them are out really dangerous, out in the middle of, like, a dangerous sea with big stormy waves and stuff. That would be scary. But I think it would also be pretty relaxing, maybe, if you, especially if you were an introvert. If you were, I would much rather be in a lighthouse, be a lighthouse keep, than like out in a one of those like forestry things where you're out live by yourself way out in the woods or on a mountainside or something, mm-hmm. to kind of keep, you know, watch for wildfires or this or that. I wouldn't like that nearly as, I love the water.
Yeah. There is something romantic about like, mm-hmm. imagining to be a lighthouse keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's a very isolating job, harsh conditions, cold, stormy. What they do is, at least the story I'm going to tell you, the lighthouse workers worked for 2 months on the lighthouse and two months off. So it's like a
rotating gig.
A rotating gig. And even when they're at the lighthouse, they have shifts. So they'll have like 4 hours where they're in charge of keeping the light lit, and then 8 hours off to eat and sleep. And then they go back 4 hours on the light, 8 hours off, back and forth like that.
That seems manageable.
Yeah, but it's really monotonous.
Oh, sure.
Really repetitive.
And but now, like, you could, I'm sure that most of them, you know, run a generator or something. You could get some electricity, maybe even some Wi-Fi.
Probably now, yeah. But stream in the old days, you were probably
a little crazy.
Yeah. There's also, I don't know if you know this, but like when you work in a lighthouse, it's almost like a military job in the sense that there's a hierarchy. There's a really strong hierarchy.
Didn't know that.
So the principal lighthouse keeper is like the captain. He's responsible for everything. You do what he says. And if you're a new lighthouse worker, like a greenhorn,
a scrub,
you're doing all the lame jobs like cleaning out the latrine. And
so they have more than one person working on site sometimes?
Yeah, because they take shifts, because the light has to be manned at all times. So they've got, there's more than one person out at a lighthouse. They'll take shifts.
Didn't know that.
And then that's the other
one. I've always thought it was like a guy, or a guy and his wife, or maybe family.
Maybe a guy and his wife, yeah. Maybe family could do it. But you better be comfortable working with the same people for 24/7 for 2 straight months. Because
yeah,
I don't know that I could.
Think there's like you. And
maybe, but I think we'd drive each other crazy after 2 months.
I think if it was just us, mm-hmm. I think we'd be fine. I think if we had to be together like all the time and do our regular lives with like all of our children and that's spouses and jobs and other coworkers and this and that, that'd be maybe a lot, but maybe it'd also be awesome. I don't know.
Maybe we'd help each other.
Yeah. But I think, and I've always wanted one of those. I have. I've told you about Lupita.
Everybody wants a sister wife, yeah.
I've told you about that, right? Lupita?
Is she your dream sister wife?
Well, she's sort of more my husband's dream sister wife, if I'm honest. But she started out as a joke. I mean, it's still a joke. But let's be really clear. There isn't actually a woman named Lupita in my life.
Okay.
But when I was a stay-at-home mom for 6 years, way back when, my husband just thought it would be funny, like, because it's hilarious, you know, with your stay-at-home wife to talk about how, well, you're just home all day. And
oh,
man. he knows. But at first it was like, he didn't quite get it. Like, why wouldn't things be done or ready, mm-hmm. or totally clean when you've been home all day with two small children under the age of 3? Then he learned. But it was like, okay, the joke became, well, your other wife will do it.
We named her Lupita,
and she did all the things I didn't want to do and was quiet.
She's lovely.
He had me, and so he was like, I want a quiet one. And then one day I came out to my minivan where we had the like white stick figure family on the back, and my husband had added another mom.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And it was hysterical.
That's hilarious.
So ever since then, we've talked about Lupita and his birthday. My husband just celebrated his 50th birthday, happy belated, and he went took himself to get Mexican food, mm-hmm. and the woman who served him was named Lupita.
That's really funny.
It was great. So yeah, and he's like, I wanted to get a selfie with her, but I knew that would be inappropriate. I'm like, yeah, super weird,
yeah.
for her.
Really?
You can't explain
really?
That
really.
Well, see, my wife and I have this thing. We have an imaginary second wife.
Oh,
isn't that hilarious?
This is so off topic, but you just reminded me, when my first daughter was born, she was very bald and very elf-like.
Yes.
She had very elf-like features. and pale. She's still pale, the palest person I know. She's like a fairy.
She is.
And we were at a Mexican restaurant. I had just had her. She was like, you know, a week old. We're at a Mexican restaurant. I probably shouldn't have taken her out anyway. But the waitress asked.
We had to get out.
I had to get out.
We were just dying to get out.
But the waitress asked if she could hold her. And I was like, sure. You know, I'm sitting right there. And she seemed like perfectly motherly, lovely waitress. So I let her hold the baby. She turned and walked with the baby without saying anything to me. She walked into the kitchen to she was just showing it off to the people in the kitchen.
Sure, sure.
But she didn't say anything to me. She just turned and walked with my baby.
Like, there goes my baby.
And
Those elf babies go for a high price on the black market.
And I get into the kitchen because I was right behind her following, like, excuse me, what are you doing?
Because I might have been like,
I was at first. I was like, I couldn't. No, I followed her. But and she gets to the kitchen, and when I get in the kitchen, everybody's like just petting her bald head. And like,
oh my gosh. Yeah, she's definitely. She'd be a very unique baby.
She's very unique baby.
I've lived in Mexico. Yeah. That baby would have stood out like a glowing beacon of gringa.
Anyway, she was fine. She gave her right back to me, but there was a moment that was such a weird.
You were just
experience.
Family. You're in the restaurant. You're family.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, we're activating our background knowledge on lighthouses
and on a lot of other things.
You feeling good? You feeling like
I am? The coffee's kicking in, okay. And I feel lighthouse. Romantic, creepy, spooky, awesome. Would I do it? Maybe. If I continue to turn into a cranky old lady, it'd probably be the perfect gig for me.
It could be you, me, Lupita, the three of us. You could be captain. Lupita could be the greenhorn who does all the...
Anything I don't want to do.
You don't want to do. And I'll be in the middle. I'll do some work and I'll be lazy sometimes.
Perfect.
I'll be right in the middle.
Can I get a peg leg?
You can have a peg leg because
you're
the captain.
I'm probably going to need one anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a pipe.
I don't know. I could have one. It could blow bubbles or something. I'm into it.
Okay. What do you know about... We're still activating background knowledge. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about Scotland's Flannan Isles? Because you're going to Scotland this
year.
Yes,
and I'm going to just give you a short answer. No.
Okay. It is on the west...
You're welcome, America.
It's on the west coast of Scotland.
Okay.
Okay, so, you know, like...
Yes. Okay. Yep. I can picture it now. I'm
okay.
Thinking
so on the west side. So the wind.
I was thinking
of
England. Yes. Got it.
The wind's gonna come across the Atlantic with nothing to impede it, nothing to stop it, and it's gonna slam on those Flannan Isles.
Ooh, I bet their geography is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, rocky, windy, stormy. Yeah. It's the perfect setting for a paranormal story.
Yes. Or like an episode of Outlander.
Yeah. All right. So I told you we're gonna role play like a D&D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or like a mystery. You're going to be the detective. Okay.
Okay.
You ready to role play?
I love that.
So we're in Scotland. We're in the Flannan Isles, and it's December 15th of the year 1900. And you, Lindsay, your name is Robert Muir.
Okay. M-U-I-R.
M-U-I-R. And you operate a supply boat called the SS Hesperus. And your whole job is to deliver supplies to the lighthouse on Flannan Isle once per month. So once a month, you bring. So you're headed out there. What are you bringing in your boat?
Canned meats, and
yum,
cheese wheels, and dried firewood because I'm sure that's hard to get.
Yes,
and girly mags.
Maybe the 1900 girly mags
and. Yeah, probably like the town gossip, maybe.
You do bring the mail. There. You're bringing the mail.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And anything like, I would think, perishable. So if I could get fresh fruits and vegetables or fresh meat or something like that, but also non-perishables to restock. And
yeah.
Maybe even just to be a bit of company for a bit. Yes. A spot of tea while I'm out there.
That's very nice of you, Mr. Muir.
Thanks.
Great. Okay, so you're headed out there on your boat. And you notice that the light is not lit.
Shit. It's very Apollo 13 all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Houston, Edinburgh, we've got a problem.
Well, you don't have a phone. You don't have a phone.
No. It's like, send a flare? What are you going to do?
I don't even know if they have flares in 1900.
But I'm going on that aisle. I'm going to investigate.
Okay.
I hope I have a dog. Do I have a dog?
No, I don't know if you have a dog. Why don't you have a dog? We can imagine.
I have a dog because that would give me extra confidence.
I don't think Mr. Muir really had a
dog. To go to the island and be like, let's go, Sammy. We're going to go check it out. Now I'm Irish.
You gotta be Scottish. Or you could be Irish and just...
Muir is definitely Scottish.
Okay.
Maybe my dad was Scottish, my mom was Irish. And she talked to me more, so I have a bit of an Irish brogue within my Scottish accent. So, yeah, I'm taking my dog. We're going to go check it out, though, because I care about this person. I bring them things.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Or people.
Mm-hmm.
And something's up. That's not normal, and that's not safe, and there's going to be ships wrecked if I don't do something.
Correct. It's unusual. You know the light has to be lit all the time, mm-hmm. so you're definitely correct, and you're starting to feel uneasy.
Something's up.
Something's up.
Something happened. Something bad happened. Now, if there's only one person there, I'm going to suspect that they're injured, sick, or dead. If there's more than one person there, then I'm going to think, ruh-roh, mm-hmm. somebody did something naughty.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right on the right track with how the real Mr. Muir was probably thinking.
Okay.
So you arrive at the island. You pull your boat up. It's quiet. Usually, there's three men there, and they usually come out and help you dock your boat, and they're excited to see you and unload your boat. The three men that work there, and you know this, are named Thomas Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Donald MacArthur.
He's a bit of a rascal.
James Duquette.
James must be the new guy.
Maybe. I'm not sure which. I'm not sure actually what their ranks were.
He had a funny look about him the first time that I met him. Still Irish.
Thomas, Donald, and James, they don't come. What do you want to do first?
Sammy, go take a look around and report back to me.
Well, okay.
No, I think I'd probably go... Ugh, you get that pit in your stomach,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a grizzled man of the sea, so I've got my wits about me. I'm not afraid of no, you know, ghosts, so okay. to speak. So, but I probably don't have a gun. It's 1900. Maybe I do, but I definitely have like a fishing knife
mm-hmm.
or a club or probably, something. I'm gonna grab that. Okay. I'm gonna take my dog, and we're gonna quietly climb up the little rocky shoals or whatever, the pathway yes. to get to the top and slowly make our way up and see, just make observations, what we can see, what we can hear, try to take it all in. I don't want to rush into a scene.
Yeah.
I don't want to, I'm also a little afraid of what I might see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to spook somebody who's maybe up to some foul play.
Yeah.
Or if there's, seems to be some sort of plague or weird illness or something that's hit, I don't want to jump in the middle of that either.
Right.
So all kinds of things would be going through my mind.
Absolutely.
But I would suspect either like a illness that suddenly befell them and they're all infirm or dead
mm-hmm.
or foul play.
Okay.
To me, it's going to be one or the other.
If we had a D20 dice, I would have you roll it for a perception check as you're like looking around,
okay.
walking up the rocks. It's just like a rocky. It's not a far walk to the lighthouse. It's a little slippery because it's wet and stormy.
Okay, my peg leg slows me down a bit.
Slows you down a bit. You can lean on your dog.
Yep.
Okay, you arrive at the lighthouse. The door is locked.
Mm.
And it's a manual lock. You've been to this lighthouse before. You know that this is a manual lock that can only lock from the inside. So if the men were not in the lighthouse, the door would not have been locked. So either they should be inside or they've exited through a window or something.
Yeah,
it's unusual.
Or for some reason left and locked it for the first time ever.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that they can because it locks from the inside.
Oh, I got you. It's a turn lock. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the door's locked, which means they're either inside or they jumped out of a window.
Yep.
Or there's some mysterious reason.
Yep.
Okay. So some... Okay. All right. All right.
What do you want to do?
I'm guessing that... I think I would probably just walk the perimeter.
Okay.
Do I see any bodies that look like they jumped out of a window?
You do a perception check around the island, and the only thing you notice is that the landing dock where you've landed has some damage to it, which it hadn't had damage before, but it is a stormy place, so it could have had damage and just not been repaired.
But then I'm also thinking in the back of my head is, not too far back, is... I got to get that thing lit. Somebody's got to get that thing lit.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's some weird-ish going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't want this to be a snowball effect and create more harm. So, I might, if I get a quick glance to see there's no blood trails, there's no bodies.
See, nope, your perception check, you don't see any blood.
Nothing like that. I might pound on the door.
Okay.
Next. And I've got my hand on my little thigh holster for my knife. Super sexy peg leg thigh holster.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm pounding on the door and yelling, "Hey, are you in there? Are you breathing or are you dead? Get that lightless, you crazy mofos."
You're such a great Mr. Muir. All right, so you do that. You pound on the door and you yell and there's no answer. You can pound as long as you want, but there's no answer.
And I can't get in because it's locked.
It's locked.
Is it a solid, like, it probably is a super solid wood door. I'm probably not going to be able to just kick it in with my good leg.
Well, you may have something on your boat that would help. Like, I think a lot of people would travel with an axe or something.
Yeah, probably. Yep. So that might be my next move. Because I'm really worried about the boats. Is it daytime or nighttime? Do we know?
Daytime.
Okay, so I'm not super worried about yet. But I'm going to, so maybe I take a pause, take a beat, and go explore a little bit more.
There's not much to explore, though. It's very really small. A small island with nothing on it except for, like, that landing dock and a little safety railing.
Well, if I don't see anything, then I'm getting that axe and we're getting in that lighthouse.
Okay. So you do a strength check. You roll for strength. You roll a 20. Dig deep, Papa. You, Mr. Muir, you do break the door open.
Okay.
And you get into the lighthouse. There are four places you can go explore in the lighthouse. And I'll tell me, and you can tell me where you want to go first.
Okay.
You can go to the tippy top where the light is.
Okay.
Ten stories up.
Oh, Lord, jeez.
You can go to the living quarters. You could go to the kitchen. Or you could explore right there by the doorway.
Well, let's just do the doorway first, like, real quick. Doo-doo-doo.
Yeah, there's not a lot in the lighthouse.
Nothing there. Okay.
Okay, so you look around the doorway, and here's what you notice.
Do I see any, like, boots or anything sitting there?
Yeah, you notice that Thomas's coat is missing, but the other two men, Donald and James, their coats are still hanging on their hooks.
Okay.
You also notice that the logbook, which any visitors are required to sign, like, you have to sign it when you come and have tea with them. The logbook had visitors a week ago. But visitors are very uncommon. The lighthouse is really isolated. Mm. But it's not like super unusual. Visitors do come. Okay. It's just really rare.
Okay. But somebody might be shiesty.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. So then I'm going to head. I got to conserve my energy so I know if I don't go up to that light now, it ain't never going to happen.
Okay.
So we're going up those 10 flights.
All right. Take your peg leg.
Let's go, Sammy. So we get up there. Kind of peeking around, like, get up to light, figure out where's the freaking matches, whatever they use, the torch,
I don't know
whatever
what it is,
the gasoline, the oil, whatever.
Yeah.
Light it up.
Okay.
Good. We got that to that. Now I can focus. Now I can give my full attention to these missing men.
Yeah. Your whole walk up the stairs, there's no sign of the men.
Nothing, no blood, no.
And no sign of blood or anything like that.
Hmm.
And the light's definitely out. I don't know if the real Mr. Muir, because this is a real story. I don't know if the real Mr. Muir lit the lamp.
Well, that was cheap.
But you can light it. I mean, maybe
I'm lighting that lamp. I don't want anybody else crashing on the shores.
You're a lot more considerate. You're very considerate.
Thank you.
Here's the other thing you notice. There's a clock up there called the lighthouse's timekeeping clock. It's really important because it keeps track of their precise time for lighting the lamp and their operational tasks.
But how would it?
The clock has stopped.
But also, it's supposed to stay lit 24/7. Why do we need a timer for that?
They need it because they change their shifts every 8 hours on the dock. Remember I told you it's like a
militarized operation.
Ship kind of job.
Okay.
Everything is to the T.
The clock is not working. How is the clock powered?
I think it's a wind-up clock.
Sure, it'd have to be.
Yeah.
There's no batteries, no electricity. Okay. Clock has stopped. So no one has wound it. So it probably has a 24-hour winding on it, or at least 12 hours. So then that means something fishy went down at least 12 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's recent. It could be recent, but it could also be up to a week ago when these visitors came.
Right. It's hard to know. It could be even a month ago. And I don't know if that would make sense. Because then the people would sign the logbook and not alert anybody to anything.
Right, just be like, it seems quaint.
Yeah.
4 out of 10, though, because of the dead bodies in the kitchen.
We'll take care of those.
Would not visit again. So that's where I'm headed next to the living quarters.
Okay. In the living quarters, you find the captain's log. This is like, you know, Stardate 2-2
okay.
or whatever. They have a captain's log. And you don't notice anything.
Sure was wet today.
Exactly. There's nothing of note
Kept
in it.
Kept the light lit.
You find another clock in the living quarters. This one is also stopped, but at a different time.
Hmm. Do we know the times?
I guess just know that they're different from each other.
Okay, interesting. All right.
You got one more room to visit.
Okay, the kitchen.
Okay, you go down to the kitchen. Here's what you find. You find the table is set for a meal, and it appears to have been left mid-meal. There's a large pot of stew that's still in the pot on the stove, untouched, and one chair is overturned on the floor.
So, one chair is overturned.
Mm-hmm.
That's really weird.
It is really weird. And there's no sign. You've searched the whole lighthouse
now. No blood.
There's no signs of struggle or foul play. The only thing that seems off is this chair that's turned over.
And a meal left. Just abandoned.
A meal abandoned mid-meal. And one coat missing. And, of course, the door was locked from the inside.
There's no windows?
I think there are windows. Like, who would do that? Why would you do that?
How did they leave?
No.
And why would... If you're going to... Something happened suddenly. Like, suddenly one of these people pulled a gun and made threats, or was there was a fight of some kind. Something went down, but to have everybody be gone. So maybe one person snapped for some reason, killed the rest, hid the bodies, buried the bodies, tossed the bodies out to sea. And then they took off. But again, how is the door locked from the inside?
Yep. And that's why this is, it remains a mystery. There's four theories, and you can try and like brainstorm, because you're a detective now, Mr. Muir. So you can try and brainstorm some of the theories.
Okay.
And I'll fill in any holes.
All right.
Your one theory was like murder, foul play.
Yeah. Another is... Like, they ran out of food or got sick or something, and so they tried to leave. Did they have a boat of their own? The light keepers? They must have, for emergencies.
I apologize, because I don't know.
Yes!
You know my research. I don't quite know that
deep. No, I'm so happy you didn't know something, because every week you ask me great questions about my stories. Every week that it's my turn, and I'm like, that it was not that deep. Seems like I should have got that far in my research, but I never do. So that's good. I'm glad you didn't know. Okay, so I'm going to guess they had some sort of ocean-going craft.
You know what, though?
To travel by.
I don't know if they did, because I know from like learning about the story when I was researching, they had like being on this island was... If they always had this like sense of dread, existential dread, because if you didn't come, Mr. Muir, with your supply boat,
they got nothing.
They would have nothing. They'd have no food or anything.
Or any way off the island.
Yeah. And so I think it is really creepy to be out there in the 1900s.
I wouldn't like that at all.
I think you get dropped off.
I don't trust people enough.
Right? And it's really stormy. Anything could happen to Mr. Muir and the supply boat guy.
Yikes. Okay. And we don't... Okay, so... All right, so they can't get off the island, at least not alive, unless they escape, unless the visitors came and they're a band of drunken pirates and they crashed into the dock, and then, but they came, they seemed friendly, did the whole, like, slimy, smarmy, we're just curious passersby looking for a warm bed for the night and a hot meal. And then they
kidnap them?
There's no
sign of foul play. Like, for them to take the time to lock the door and grab one coat and climb out
windows is weird.
It's weird. They left all their stuff.
Is he sure the door is locked and not just stuck closed?
Yeah, he's sure the door's locked.
That just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm.
All right, tell me what the theories are from the professionals.
Okay, there's a storm theory where, like, they, you know, because it is stormy there.
They got blown out.
They got blown right off the island. Like, the wind picked them up, blew them right off the island. That's one theory, but it doesn't, I don't know that it really covers it, because it doesn't explain how they got outside.
That'd be a hell of a gust.
Yeah.
Three times over.
And why only one would grab a coat in a terrible storm.
Right.
It's got holes. All of these theories have holes.
And lock the door.
Yeah.
No one's locking the door. Who's locking the door?
The other theory is murder foul play. There is such a thing as lighthouse madness. Like, sure. People do go mad sometimes working at a lighthouse.
I imagine that your nerves could get frayed and maybe one of you would snap.
Yeah. They just didn't, there wasn't any evidence of it. But that is a thing that happens. It's also possible that something paranormal happened. There are locals who claimed that they saw some strange lights on the island before the men disappeared.
How did I not already think of aliens?
Yeah, maybe aliens just scooped them right
up. Sam the Sandown Clown was hitting a different island.
Maybe, but other like paranormal things, sirens, selkies, mermaids, something luring them.
I think aliens is a fantastic theory.
Yeah. Okay. And then the other one would be like, there could have been an accident out, like on a ship. Maybe they were trying to help a ship that was in distress and they went out to try and help
they
and
locked
they like
the
slipped.
Door.
Yeah.
It's the only thing is if they got sucked out by alien technology.
Mm-hmm.
Hyper-intelligent technology that they got zipped out of there and the door was locked because they were sleeping. But one of them was like, I need my coat.
I'm going to be cold on your ship.
Right.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, but I think it's probably aliens.
Okay. I could agree with that. So there are lots of famous poems and songs that have been written about the Flannan Isle in this mysterious case. So I'm going to have you read a couple lines from a famous poem. It's called The Flannan Isle by Wilfred Wilson Gibson.
Name ever.
I know.
One of those would have been plenty of a name, though.
Wilfred Wilson Gibson.
Name. Okay.
I just pulled out a couple stanzas from it that I thought were cool, but it's a whole poem that was made in 1912. You got to read it with like your peg leg peak kind of.
My Irish accent from the Scottish man. All right. The lights went out on Flannan Isle, and we who went to look found nothing there but the storm-swept rock and the dead man's coat and book. There was none to be found and none to be seen, and no one would know for sure whether the men had been lost in the storm or gone mad and walked from the door.
Good reading. Good dramatic reading. The other thing I wanted to share with you and everybody, have you heard of the movie called The Lighthouse? That is a 2019 horror movie.
No, but now we need to watch it.
I'm going to show you a clip from it. Which is, so here's who was in it. It was Robert Pattinson.
Oh,
from Twilight.
Team Edward.
Team Edward. Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe.
Oh my gosh, that's great actors so far. I mean, that's a great pairing, I think.
I loved this movie, but I love horror movies, and it was really a weird movie.
Sounds like it'd be really suspenseful, like a thriller more than a horror.
It's really, really interesting. It's really unique. It's all shot in black and white.
Ooh.
And it is, there's very minimal music. The only music they have is like this horn of the lighthouse. It's really creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't talk a lot. But they descend. Well, one of them's already mad. Willem Dafoe's already mad, and he's the principal lighthouse keeper. And Robert Pattinson comes as the greenhorn. And through the course of the movie, he kind of descends into madness. Also, I thought it was fun because as a viewer, the movie is really isolated and kind of boring and kind of lonely. Like, as an audience member, the director takes you through that.
Okay.
So you're like on this journey with them, and they argue and they hate each other by the end. And I kind of wonder if the story was loosely based on the Flannan Isles and just lighthouse madness and weird things that happen.
Yeah.
And it's it's horror fantasy. So there's like paranormal stuff that happens in the movie. It just reminds me a lot of this story.
Okay.
Okay, so I was going to show you a scene from the movie. So Willem Dafoe, he's the principal. He makes Robert Pattinson do all the menial work over and over just to be a jerk, just to prove his high status. And so in this scene, you can hear how he talks to Robert Pattinson. So you'll have to edit this out because it's going to take me a minute to find it.
Sir?
What?
I mopped and swept twice over.
You liar dog.
I swept them.
Just begrimed and bedabbled. Unwiped, unwashed, and disdained.
Get some kind of pert out of molesting me.
Come now.
I already says...
How dare you contradict me, you dog?
Now look here.
I ain't never intended to be no housewife nor slave in taking this job. And it ain't right. These lodges is more ramshackle than any shanty boys camp I ever seen. The Queen of England's old fancy housekeeper couldn't even done no better than what I done. Because I tell you, I scrubbed this here place twice over.
And I say you did nothing of the sort. And I say you swab it again and you swab it proper like this time. And you'll be swabbing it 10 times more after that. And if I tells you to pull up and apart every floorboard and clapboard of this here house and scour them down with your bare bleeding knuckles, you'll do it. And if I tells you to yank out every single nail from every molding nail hole and suck off every speck of rust till all them nails sparkle like a sperm whale's pecker and then carpenter the whole light station back together from scrap and then do it all over again, you'll do it! And by God and by golly, you'll do it, smiling lad, because you like it. You like it because I says you will. Contradict me again, and I'll dock your wages. You hear me, lad?
Aye, sir.
Swab, dog. Swab.
I mean, I'd kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, that one scene alone, I'd be like, I'm killing this guy in his sleep.
Yeah. Don't you love how he talks? He talks like Popeye.
He totally does. Minus the spinach. He's getting a pillow over his face in the night. There's no way.
Oh, it had to be a horrible job, especially if you weren't the one who was high status. And if the high status one was mad or drunk, like in this movie, it'd be a horrible job.
I would imagine that's a job that is for the less educated among us, right? Perhaps not a lot of other opportunities. So it's not like Robert Pattinson can just be like, this is crap. I'm taking my bucket and going home. He probably has to have a job. This is probably the best he can do right now. And for whatever reason, I mean, I don't know his backstory, but it's got to be to the point where he has to be there or he wouldn't stay.
There's no way off. There's no way off. You're in a tiny little place. You're in like a tall shack with someone who's abusing you.
Yeah, I'm killing that guy. He's abusing him and it's ridiculous. And he's tiny. He's a tiny, skinny Popeye. I'm taking him out. Who's going to know?
It's such a great movie. And it just, the story kind of reminds me of it because I think maybe there was something.
Something like that.
Two of them. This is what I think. One guy snapped and he pushed two of them over the top where they were working at the lighthouse, like on their shift, pushes him off, and then he grabs his coat, locks the door so it just be suspicious for everybody, climbs out a window, drags the two bodies off into the, well, there would be blood, no there wouldn't because it would be raining so much.
Pushes
him into the ocean, the rain washes any blood away, and then he just jumps into the ocean like a crazy person or leaves with those two people who came a week ago.
Yeah, those travelers might have had something to do with it.
Or it's aliens.
Yeah, I love aliens, but it's probably more likely that those people came. You've seen movies like that, stories like that, where like, oh, The Hateful Eight. My husband and son and I just watched The Hateful Eight.
I don't know that one.
It's a Quentin Tarantino movie. My son's super into Quentin Tarantino movies right now. Anyway, it's one of those stories where like a band of misfits shows up under the guise of being gentlemen and just passing through, and then they end up killing people, robbing them, you know, taking over the joint. So it could be something like that where people took advantage of the situation, or maybe they knew of one of them and that's the one who took his coat and went with them.
I like it. But I came up with a homework assignment. So for scholars who are listening, your homework assignment is to like figure out what happened. Just you can imagine it. You can come up with
stuff. History hasn't done it for 125 years, but go for it.
It's a creative writing assignment. So just write a paragraph of what you think happened.
Okay.
And send it to us and we can just enjoy those stories.
That would be funny.
I'm interested to hear what people think.
There's, romantic fan fiction about the three little lighthouse keeps and the alien the alien Amazonian wenches that showed up.
I love it.
I'll swab your deck, sir.
Stupid. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the like role playing thing that I tried?
That's fun. Yeah. Should we close this out with our little
sign-off? Yeah, thank you for editing all this.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Class dismissed.
And don't open the door. You probably can't anyway because it's locked from the inside. Good night.